So much has happened in the cathedral and different congregations, and so I thought this video is helpful. We are thankful to be there to pound. Give us just a tiny glimpse into so much that the Lord has done. And of course, many more that we can't get photos on, and so much that the Lord has done. So as the year turns, it's a great time to be thankful. Here in Singapore, we just move on, all right? Move on to the next thing, and we quickly forget what we have learned. In fact, so much was taught last year alone. You can easily go on the website and pick up all the various Christian education courses, conferences we have run. We have kept a pretty good record of all the messages and talks. So I want to turn to the passage read for us just now from the book of Isaiah. I know this is the first Sunday Epiphany. I'll say something about the three wise men later on in my sermon. I want to look at this text because it underlines the theme that we have set for this year, that's pursuing the heart of God. And you get to hear a bit more about that in the subsequent Sundays. But as you become a new year, you want to ask, how can I be consistent in my walk with God and my ministry? And both, of course, is linked, right? How can I grow as a Christian and as a person? How can 2018... this year be a year of growth and not instead of stagnation or even worse, regress. A reminder of the words of Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed. The next slide, yes. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. In other words, we can change. Recently, I was just reading a book, I think it's entitled In the Shallows, one of those bestsellers, reminded again on the plasticity of the brain, right? I believe it's only up to about 20 years ago that the thinking has changed. There used to be a thinking that when you reach adulthood, your brains don't change very much, right? But now the doctors have discovered the reverse is true. There's a lot of capacity to change. And so, underlines again, of course, what Paul says, that our minds can be renewed, you see. So this year, what can you intentionally do to grow in your walk with God, to grow in your mind, to grow in your character, to grow in your personality? Of course, some things are harder to change than others, right? Whether it's hard or easy, both needs to be intentional. You need to desire to grow or change, or else another year will pass and it will be wasted. Right, so with that, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. It's quite hard to turn to, I know, in the church Bible, 1,000-something pages, right? Keep your Bible open there. It will help you to follow God's word this morning. Now, we are familiar with Isaiah 40, verse 31. He who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. And this, perhaps, is one of the most popular verses in the book of Isaiah. He who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. But actually, this passage is an answer to the question first posed in verse 27 of chapter 40. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from God, and my right is disregarded by my God? And there's the use of continuous tense here, which means keep saying, keep speaking. And it indicates here a sustained mood of doubt, of questioning. My ways are hidden. What's going on in my life is hidden from God. He do not see my situation. Or even if He notices, He will disregard my right. Now, is that how you are thinking as we welcome a new year? Perhaps last year, there have been some challenges and you have been in this sustained mood of questioning even as you move into the new year. So let's see how this passage addresses this concern. Isaiah first answer in verse 28 by teaching and explaining again on the doctrine of God, right? Who God is, and He said this, have you not heard? In other words, this is a way of speaking. Isaiah is saying, you have heard. You have known. And we need to relearn what we already know and open our ears again to what we have already heard. In fact, just reflecting on the courses and conferences we had in the cathedral last year, if you were just to apply 20% of it, you would have grown, right? But of course, these things we need to keep hearing and rehearing. We need to be reminded again and again. And here in Singapore, there's no shortage of sermons. We are church-going national church. And that's a good thing, right? We have not, like some Western church, where we have dropped this sense of going to church on Sunday. So you have heard sermons, 52 sermons last year. You have Bible study discussions. Not only that, we go to cell groups. Or here in Cathedral, we call connect groups. So you had Bible study discussions, or you may have joined some Bible study groups. And there are tons of conferences and seminars in Singapore. Sometimes a bit too many, right? So a real opportunity to learn. So you have known. You have heard. And so whether it's knowing something from within or hearing something from without, right? What Isaiah said, we need to remember what we have known or what we've been taught about who God is. So that is a starting point. If you desire to grow this year without fainting, very often we grow in spurts, right? And then we go down the valley and we stagnate and sometimes regress and then we pop up again, right? But if you want to grow without being tired, you want to grow wonderfully this year, it starts with understanding who God is. And as I move on to say, the Lord is everlasting God, verse 28, the creator of the ends of the earth. He's not limited in time or space. He's everlasting eternity. Reference to time, right? And he's the creator of the ends of the earth. It was in the ancient times, they said the ends of the earth. Modern times, we will say, in the end of space, right? The end of the universe, to the ends of the universe, and we know today, actually we don't know. We know it's very large, we don't quite exactly know how large it is, but it's huge, the universe. So we say, he's a creator to the ends of the universe, in space and in time. He belongs to eternity, and we to a very small period of time. His creative work is universe-wide, while we are limited to this local and very tiny red dot nation, as we often call. He is infinite, but we are very finite. As you recall the first sermon I preached, I must be about in my early 20s. The first sermon I preached in Anglican Church, and it was at this leader's retreat, and I said, imagine a line that stretches from, I see some phases here, and it's a great illustration to share here. I can imagine a line stretched from Dubai all the way to Japan, and this line this morning passes through this room, and as I did that, I drew a line across OHP. You know OHP? Overhead projector. Remember those days, overhead projector? We have this plastic thing and we draw on it, right? So, and I drew this line. And this line moved all the way to Japan, right? And your lifespan is just this. And I put a dot on the OHP to illustrate how finite and how small. That was my first sermon. And a brother came up to encourage me. Justice like you, Chai. I can see Dorothy here. Is Stanley around? Yeah. those words were very important. I always remember those words. Because sometimes I do get discouraged as a preacher. But he said, Terry, you have potential as a preacher. To hear it from a judge, that's very encouraging. I remembered this illustration because I remember what he said. You see? So it must be this illustration that's impressed him. But this sense of how small we are and how big God is, right? That is so important. Because sometimes we feel that things are overwhelming. We feel that our task is overwhelming. Indeed, it will be. but with God it's not, because He is infinite. So He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Amazing words. So unlike us, He does not faint or grow weary. And faint means to be wearied under life's pressures. How a person is almost collapsing under the pressures of life. And here in Singapore, we are not a stranger to this sense of being overwhelmed. And do you know, even as a pastor, I do faint or grow weary. And bishops too as well. I work very closely with all three bishops. They're only human beings. And sometimes we think they can just keep going on, keep blessing, keep smiling, keep raising their hands, praising God, hallelujah. But they too have moments when they are weary and tired. As you remember, when I was on sabbatical for 6 months, then was the vicar of St. James Church, and someone else was acting vicar. And midway through, he emailed to me and said, "Please hurry back. I'm tired of making all the decisions I have to make on a daily basis." He was just tired of leadership. Because leadership means making decisions. And when you are a pastor of a parish, there are 1,001 decisions you have to make every day. And each one you think, should I do this, should I do that? That's a stress builds up, right? So I can see he was wearing him on. And so bishops and pastors, your leaders, we ourselves, we all grow weary. But we serve a God that does not faint or grow weary. And do you know that you can never Google to find out what God knows? Because it says here, you see, His understanding is unsearchable. So you cannot Google it, right? Because it's beyond our human understanding. So, hallelujah. We grow weary, but He doesn't. We sleep. Some of you are tired this morning. You catch a wing or two, right? But He neither slumber nor sleep. Now, that's very important for us pastors to know that. Because church work, I always tell somebody, church work never ends. You can work 24 hours and feel that you're not done what you need to do. Sometimes we just need to take a break. Recently, I was on a vacation, snatches some days in PGA and some days in Penang, right? Before the new year and all the demands come upon me. But I do so knowing that the church move on. The church is not dependent on me, not dependent on pastors, because our Lord, He neither slumber nor sleep. Our minds are stretched to the limits and sometimes they're overwhelmed by the events around us, but not His. His understanding is unsearchable. Therefore, we rely on Him with a deep trust. So, in verse 29 onwards, you find that the words of Isaiah move from us being passive to observer to an active work of God. So verse 29, He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, He increases strength. He gives power to him who has no might. And that's all of us, without exception, right? Our strength is ever so limited. But He gives us power to overcome our fainting. Not only that, He increases our strength. And verse 30, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. And this phrase, even youths, is a reference to young men or women in their peak condition. Right? If you reflect on your own life, in terms of your fitness, there is a season when you're at your peak condition. And after that, it goes downhill. Right? Now, my peak condition was very, very long ago. As you recall, you know, as a teenager, you won't believe it, right? But as a teenager, I was actually very fit. In fact, I used to play table tennis for school. You know, I was very fit. And I used to play badminton for school. Yeah, you know, badminton. You know badminton? You know, I joined this doubles competition and we actually won. I was very good in doubles because I was very fast, you see. I would stand, those who know me, stand near the serving line. I'm not joking, no exaggeration. Right until the guy, he's so panicked. Then he tried to flip to my back. and I spring, pop, you know, kill the ball, right? And I used to play volleyball. You see, all my games, by the way, doesn't need a lot of muscles, as you can see. In fact, when I was young, I used to be rather, I always say anorexic. I put on a bit now. But I was lanky, you see. So at one stage, I was so fit, I could jump, and my nose could touch the net, you see. And so I have time to choose where to spike the ball down. Long ago, Kim Sing. He's very fit, Kim Sing. But those were long time ago. Now, the last time I went on the badminton court, I felt as if my knees were made of iron and steel. Instead of leaping, jumping, clang, clang, slow motion. Boom, you serve ready. You know, I think about badminton, I think you'll laugh. Right? And the last time I played volleyball was actually while I was on sabbatical. I joined the hostel team and oh, I'm so young. Right? And as I tried to jump, and so I realized since the last time I played volleyball, they've raised the net now so much higher. Wow, you know, a peak condition. And some of you, maybe you are still at your peak condition. Now you are. You are running, you are going marathon, you are jogging. And it seems as if, when you're so fit, as if you'll never faint, you'll never grow tired. But here the Bible says, even when you're in a peak condition, you will grow faint, you'll faint and you will be weary. And even young men, they will fall exhausted. And so we come now to verse 39. So what do we do? Right? And so this amazing word, wait, verse 39, right? But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Isaiah saw a vision of God's people who will rise above the world's challenges on earth and in the sky. And the eagle is a good example of that, right? As I said, the world of the ancient man in those days is just what you can see. So on earth and the sky, he soars like an eagle. He flies above the volleyball net and spike, boom, effortlessly. Right? He flies across the Babylon court. I always imagine sometimes, you know, if you're a sportsman, you imagine you are a very good sportsman. You know, you imagine I jump very high and boom. That day never reached. I passed my peak very quickly, right? And I stagnated as a Babylon player. But here, this word, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. And the Greek word, kava, is interesting. In fact, the Old Testament translators sometimes struggle to translate this verse. Because there's a literal meaning. The word kava, literal meaning, means to bind together like a cord. So picture in your mind the process of making a rope by twisting and weaving thin threads together to form the rope. So the more strands that are twisted or woven together in a rope, the greater is the strength, a tensile strength. So you can see, right? I have some illustration here. The fibers and the yarns, and then the strands. Right? And literally, it means that. Referring to a cord or to a rope. Of course, where else in the Bible is this mentioned? Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12, right? A very popular wedding verse. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. On the wedding, a pastor was one giving a sermon on this passage. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And the son-in-law whispered to his mother-in-law, you see, perhaps it'd be better if I marry another time. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. To which the mother-in-law replied, you foolish son, the third strand is a reference to me. Because we know the third strand is a reference to God. So it's a wonderful wedding sermon, right? The more we draw close to God, a triangle, remember? Yeah, the closer to our with one another. And that's true. That's not theory. I can tell you that, observing marriages. The more you put God at the center, the stronger the marriage will be. And so there is a literal meaning. But, of course, what the translators do is to use what I call the common meaning, what the word is commonly come to be used, and that is to hope or to expect. All right. So don't be surprised by this two-way translating. I may say, for example, oh, this is a very date service. I don't mean, oh, you are actually date. It's just a reference to maybe this lack of life. And so there's a common use. The common use here is to hope or to expect. And therefore, they use this word, they who wait on the Lord. And so to be active, brothers and sisters, we need to be passive. Right? We need to learn to wait on God. In fact, this Hebrew word is so mentioned in Psalm 84, where it says, blessed are those whose strength is in you. The same idea. You see, this sense of like a cord that is not alone, you see, but bound to something that is far greater. And together, there's synergy and there is greater strength. St. Paul said very much the same thing in Philippians 4, verse 13. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ. Alone, many things are not possible, but through Christ, I can. So, brothers and sisters, to wait is to be patient. It's to put your trust in Him. As you face the pressures in life and the challenges, or sometimes you face, I use the word challenges. This year, you may want to accomplish certain things in your own life, or your ministry, in your marriage relationship, or whatever it may be, in your studies, or in your business. It means that you will not be reliant on yourself, not be self-reliant, but learn to rely on God. It means that we'll put your trust in the Lord. And your wait and trusting is two sides of the same coin. Because if you trust, you wait, you see. Right? And you wait, you see fulfillment of your faith. But sometimes the answers don't come immediately. And that strength will come to you from the Lord to go through whatever ordeals or challenges that you will face. The next slide. I met up with a very good friend recently. His name is Chan Chi Kai. Some you may know him, right? If you're my peers in Raffles Hall. Because he was a VCF chairman when I first joined Raffles Hall. It's a hostel in NUS. And I came as a student from Malaysia, wondering what in the world am I doing in Singapore? Very lost, you know, but very much at home in the Lord. You know, there's one thing I find that when you are a strong Christian, the Lord's with you. Wherever you go, it can be a home, even though you are actually very lonely. But very quickly, I bonded with some Christians, and he was a very faithful Christian, a very good leader, very caring. I still recall, it's a small group of us who wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning to pray, and he would be one of them, and rather semi-dark room, we were praying. And that particular morning, as we were praying, just three or four of us, I saw, as I began to pray, Lord, why am I doing Singapore? And I saw this vision of a map of Southeast Asia, or map of Asia actually, map of Asia, and I saw dots all over the map. And the Lord said, through your prayer, through this group prayer and through this work of ministry, I'll be sending out many missionaries to the harvest field. And I want you to be part of that calling, part of the work and ministry. You know, it's very hard to imagine it. If you are a first-year science student from Malaysia, who am I? I always felt that I don't amount to much. And what can I do to, wow, Lord, you called me to Singapore so that the church can be a blessing in Asia. And as we were sharing, this so many years later, this was just last week, as we were sharing, I can see that God has brought that to fulfillment in so many ways. In fact, from this work and ministry in Raffles Hall, many missionaries, Reverend Mok Mai Wang, Reverend Wong Tak Ming, Archdeacon Wong Tak Ming actually, Reverend Yi Ching Wah, who else? A few others, right? Some active in the lay, in the non-clergy situation. And he himself actually is working in Central Asia, right? And so that vision has come to pass in an amazing way through the kind of mini revival, I call it, the Lord allowed to happen in my campus days. Many, till today, are still actively serving the Lord. In fact, I shared this testimony with the 1130 congregation to say, look, your goal is not just to grow this service, not to create a lively environment for young people together. Your goal is to pray that this generation will change the world for Christ. That from this work, there will be great things that the Lord will do. And indeed, when the work is strong and solid, the fruit will be seen years later, as we are still seeing because of what the Lord has done in NUS, in particular, in Breakfast Hall. But that came about because we were praying. That came about because we were waiting upon God. In fact, prayer was very much a part of, and strongly emphasized in our student days. And as we learn to pray, as we learn to see what the Lord has done, indeed, we see the Lord did great and mighty thing. It is about trusting God. In fact, actually, waiting also means being attentive to God. It's like a waiter is always attentive to a customer in the restaurant. It's about attentiveness to God. It is about hearing, listening, watching what the Father is doing. And following the Father. Not be stuck in the past. Sometimes we are stuck in the past, right? But to be alive to what God is doing constantly. And that is waiting upon God. Waiting upon God.